Now, the study on the book of Judges is rather different to last week. For those of you who are here in October, there is a lot of comments and thoughts made about the way of living. Good. Every chapter in the Bible has got to teach us something about the way of living. But unless we know every chapter of the Bible, we can't really expect to live by it. So this weekend is perhaps more looking at and studying the Bible itself rather than just picking up the lessons. But unless we pick up lessons, Michael and I and all of you will have completely failed. You don't just read the Bible for an academic exercise. In my humble opinion, there's very little virtue in the Muslims learning their Quran off by heart. I only wish I knew this off by heart. But having read it and learnt it, obviously you read it and you learn it to live by it. And the theme for the Sunday afternoon fraternal isn't just plucked out of the air, judgment and the kingdom. It is because of using the Old Testament, when the people got to their land, they had judges, then they had the kings. And the whole theme of Sunday afternoon, of course, is to bring the weekend study together of we now have got our judgment, the judges, and very soon, please God, our king, the kingdom. My suggestion is that when you're going to look at a book, possibly for the first time, possibly for the 245th time, that you have to find out what's actually in it. So first of all then, just turn a few pages and let's flick through in the book of Judges as a summary. Most of you were here last night when, of course, Brother Michael Ashton introduced himself as the other speaker, and we're extremely grateful to him. Well, you don't know until Tuesday afternoon that you've got to speak to Swanwick, and there can't be a more daunting audience than you sophisticated Bible-loving young people at Swanwick, almost in your 300s. I don't mind telling you, the thought of it 6 months ahead, enough to give the average man a heart attack, let alone from Tuesday afternoon onwards. And we're not really changing the programme. We've simply agreed, I'll waffle on as long as I possibly can, or I've got written down here, and then Michael will do rather shorter talks than on the programme. We are sticking rigidly to beginning and ends of every session. But I have Michael's permission to go on, so don't look at your watches or set the bleepers too much, because it is agreed, I will go on longer. I've had a lot longer than he has to prepare this. So, the life and times of the Judges, the book of Judges. Chapter 1 and 2, and up to verse 5 of chapter 3, is the introduction. So, chapter 1 and half of chapter 2 is coinciding with Joshua. Now, we've got the chart over here. I don't suppose all of you can see it at all, and it's going to be up just for the morning. We've got to take it down for this evening's activities. And some of you will not agree. You never, ever get everybody to agree with any set of dates. These satisfy me, and we'll spend some time this morning looking at them and probably checking them out. I have not drawn a map of Israel, I wish I had, but I imagine you've got maps in the back of your Bibles, and when I talk about north and south of the land, at least you've got some picture of the land of Israel. Book of Judges, very, very simply, is when the Israelites have come out of Egypt, and most people accept the date of coming out of Egypt as 1493. And you'll see in the middle of the blue section on the chart, where Moses, therefore, this is not the birth of it, when obviously they start as in Saul, David and Solomon. All the parts we put on are measured out according to the time. It's virtually 50 years to 12 inches on the middle numbers of years. And the object is of basically when people lived and who coincided with whom. So, chapter 1 of Judges, and halfway through chapter 2, Joshua is still alive. It goes back over, Moses had died, Joshua took the Israelites across the Jordan. He then had already been with Moses, north and south, Og, king of Bashan, and the others over on the west, on the east side, had been captured. No, you can't live there. Please come over and help us. Leave your women and children there and donkeys, by all means. But come over and help us take this side. Joshua leads them across the Jordan, and then as a concerted army, they move north and south and capture the main part of Israel. On this is the Jordan, and they on this side of the Jordan. When that's finished, then the 2.5 tribes are allowed to move back, and Israel now occupies both sides of the Jordan. Then Joshua dies. The leaders that outlive Joshua die. Then trouble starts. And that's when the book of Judges chapter 3 takes over. You've got just a few years, and some things we are not told, and the chronology of Judges is probably one of the most difficult chronologies in the Bible, because you're just not told. It says all sorts about 80 years and 40 years. You know, 4 or 40 is a very oft-used number in the Bible. And probably it's about a fortnight, as we say, or within the next 10 minutes, or within the next century. And the 40s and the 80s, which occur constantly throughout Judges, might, well, if it says 40, mean 35 or 45. And you've got to give and take a bit, because all the figures are rounded up, or possibly down. So from Judges chapter 3, the series of Judges actually start. If you look at chapter 2, verse 6. When Joshua had let the people go, the children of Israel went every man into his inheritance to possess the land. And the people served the Lord all the days of Joshua, and all the days of the elders that outlived Joshua, who had seen all the great works of the Lord that he did for Joshua. And he died, being 110. And they buried him. Verse 10, all that generation died. Verse 11, the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord and served Baal. Baalim is simply the plural for Baal, and Baal means Lord. It is the almost equivalent, but nothing really, to where we have Lord in capital letters. Because that is Israel's own name, Yahweh, or some prefer Jehovah, for God himself, Israel's God. And the idea behind it was, will be, it's a continuation of God's plan all the way through. And the moment the leader stopped shouting at them, then Israel started to serve the other Lord, the Lord of the nations, the common Baal. Yeah, it's very, very similar, I think, to the world in which we live. Extremely similar. Only 40, 50, 60 years ago, and when you're young that's a long time, but when you're getting older it's not so long, most folks in England went to church. It was the normal accepted thing. And at least once a week, the majority who went to church, say one from each family, the men started to drop off and the women continued. But at least they heard somebody telling them how to live. Those of you who used to go to school, and the vast majority I imagine, had some stupid old headmaster wagging his finger and telling you how you used to live. And now you don't have assemblies, now you've left school, and everyone does what's right in his own eyes. They don't go to church and they don't hear anybody wagging their fingers. When they do, it's normally on politics or unions or something daft. But at least the majority of people who don't have anybody wagging a finger from the front and telling them just don't, therefore, have the strength or the character often to do what they think is right, if in fact they know what is right. And that could be why England is in such a mess at the moment. Because they've stopped going to church, they have not got the commandments, they have not got the things which at least told them what they ought to, and then if they did wrong, at least some of them went to confess the next week. Without any standard, I suggest many people's standard comes down, ever so similar to our own days. So, chapter 3 and verse 5, they dwelt amongst the Canaanites and the Hittites and the Amorites and the Perizzites and the Hivites and the Jebusites, all of which should have been deaded many years before. But they didn't dead them. And if only Israel, with Joshua and the others, had gone north and south and got rid of the Ammonites, Hittites, and whatever else the list is, no bad thing to learn it, they would not have had the thorns in the side. My little son always punches his football on the roses in the garden. The obvious thing is to get rid of the roses. And if you want the football, you can't have roses and football. And if you want the promised land, you can't have the heathen nations in it. Tough if you're a heathen nation. But I'm sorry, I'm not the slightest bit bothered about the heathen nations. Neither was God. He'd given them every opportunity. They'd gone their own way. And he says, the only possible way is to get my people settled in their land. Very similar, I suggest, in the Palestinian situation today. Be very, very careful where your sympathies lie. And God, on this occasion, said, tough. These are out, you are in, I'll bless the world through you. And they should have got rid of them. We're told in the Law of Moses the way they should have got rid of them too. They didn't. So now they try to peacefully coexist. Live together in peace with the ones who God said, out, I don't want you. And this is what happened. Verse 7, chapter 3. The children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord and forgot the Lord, their God, and served Baalim in the groves. Therefore the anger of the Lord was hot against Israel, and he sold them into the hand of, and now starts the catalogue of the different times when the local enemies came, and then followed by the person who rose up to deliver them. I think you'll find it useful, not now, but at some time, to make a list, either in your margin, if you've got a very wide margin, or any piece of paper, as I've done, of chapter and verse, the name of the judge, and how long he reigned, if you want to be able to understand the book of Judges. Because if you don't, it's mighty confusing of who lived when and why. And if you do that with the chapter and verse down the left-hand side, I find it's invaluable when you want to look back and find exactly when he started and what he did. Well, a number of judges, which of course during the day we'll talk about, take place right the way through to chapter 17. And Brother Michael's talk is going to be on the role of the judge, why they actually had a judge and what a judge actually did. So we've brought ourselves now to the beginning of chapter 18. The majority of the book is enemies came, Israel became defeated, they cried to God, they went to God when in trouble, God sent them a deliverer, and for a few years then they had peace. We come to chapter 18, and the last three chapters in the book are extremely sad stories of things that happened during the time of the judges. Chapter 18 starts off with Dan, one of the tribes who lived almost in the centre of the land of Israel and had their God-given possession there, decided it wasn't good enough. They wanted a bigger garden and a bigger car, and they wanted to move. And Moses, through God, gave them permission, and they moved. And they went right up north. Now, quite often, God says, such as to Balaam, to several others, no, don't do it. Nag, 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 okay, do it then, but I'm not really behind it. And just on some occasions, God gives in. Mums do on occasions, don't they? You know, just how to get nagged properly. But God had already divided this land, and now they want to go above the area God had divided for them, and the rest of chapter 18 is tremendous trouble. How some little Levite, some little chap decided he wanted to be a priest, and he gets somebody's gods, and he has the images in the house, and virtually the whole of that tribe, who have now emigrated away to get bigger and better, they now virtually leave God completely. So much successfully so, that that was the place where Jeroboam chose to put one of his idols, he put one in the north and one in the south, to stop everybody much later in the time of the kings going down to Jerusalem. And they'd done such a good job of Baal worship up north that he cements it and put one of the official images there. In other words, chapter 18 is dismal failure. Somebody who walks out of the ecclesia, somebody who disassociates himself with the group of Christ ones, the Christadelphians, and decides that he can manage very well, thanks, by himself, and look what happens. You can't, my friends, manage very well by yourselves. Chapters 19, 20 and 21. A miserable story, and I've no intention of talking about it, not because it's miserable, but I shan't have time to talk about the rest of the judges, let alone this. Of the reason why Benjamin became an extremely small tribe. I don't want to insult you, and it is no Sunday school lesson. The majority will know that visiting a town in Bethlehem, in Benjamin, one man finds that his future wife is not only attacked, but raped and eventually dies. He takes her home, cuts her into 12 pieces, sends messengers with a leg and an arm and a chest all over the country, saying, "Look, Israel." And Israel say, "Wow, we've looked." And they go and they kill most of Benjamin. Simply because of the filth and the abomination they did to this man's future wife. And it almost led to the annihilation of this tribe Benjamin. Which explains a lot of scripture later on, why we read of Benjamin so small and Benjamin such an insignificant part in Israel's history. And that's the end of the book of Judges. The book that comes after is the book of Ruth. And tonight's sessions, 5 and 6, God willing, we are looking at this, and you'll notice verse 1, it is in the days of the judges. A few suggestions of where you can put Ruth into the judges, but that must come later. Right, we're back to chapters 1, 2 and a little bit of 3 as now the introduction of the book. And I find it absolutely amazing that not even Moses kept the law of Moses, let alone Joshua and the rest. You'll find most of the Israelites hadn't been circumcised in the wilderness and they had 40 years in which to do it. You'll find that many things of the law of Moses had not been kept, even under Moses' regime. But when they come into the promised land, they've conquered north and south, and now they're beginning to settle, which is what the time of the judges is all about. One would have thought they would have wanted to settle down with God as their centre and get using Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, the actual law of Moses. You find me one mention of the high priest in the book of Judges, in the times of the judges from chapter 3 onwards. You find me just one mention. You find me one mention of Passover and other law of Moses festivals. The only festival I can find is the time when I went to celebrate Jephthah's daughter. It just seems as though they didn't get down to doing what immediately they were supposed to get down to do. All right, they pitched the tent. Most of them were then building their houses, but God managed in the tent for a bit. And he managed in the tent through Samuel, and then through Saul, and then through David, until eventually Solomon was permitted to build the temple. But they put the tent in Shiloh. Shiloh, a small little place, almost in the middle of the land, on a main road, it says, between Bethel and Shechem. Quite in a significant part from the country. Everybody could reach it, of course. And that's where they put the tabernacle. They had their high priest, I presume. They had their altar in it, but no mention I can find at all in the times and the judges of it really being used. Just look at the chart and you'll see that Moses had only just died. Probably Joshua lived after Moses something like 20 or 25 years. Moses died just before they crossed the Jordan. The next 20 years or so, Joshua went north and south and captured the land for them. Joshua then died. The elders that had been contemporary with Joshua also died. Then Israel starts to fragment, mainly because they haven't got an organised religion. And that's when the judges come in. The judges came in because God sent the invasions, some from north, some from south. Southwest, the Philistines, relatives of the Egyptians, came up and did a tremendous lot of damage. And they weren't finally destroyed until the days of David and Solomon. They endured all the way through. Some, like the Midianites in the time of Gideon, didn't come to kill, they just came to plunder. And we're told in chapter 6 and 7 of Judges that when Gideon was there, and again that's the subject for the next talk this morning, he was just trying to keep a little bit of food to himself. The Midianites wouldn't come and kill him. They'd simply come and take his food. And they set fire to the cornfields. And they hurt and destroyed a more like guerrilla war, but it wasn't really a war. It was just plain nuisance, and you can't live without food. You've got, eventually, the complete destruction of all these enemies under David and eventually Solomon. And Solomon is sort of the time of the kingdom. Because they had kings, they had their own land, and they had peace. So, if that's the time of the kingdom, in type, you come back a bit, and the time of the judges then is a sort of early 20s, late teenage, just your age, when you're settling into houses, jobs, and occupations, and what happened to them as a nation is more or less what's happening to you now as young people, fitting in to a way of life. So you go back further and you find that coming out of Israel was the most formative time, when Israel was rather like a child. Out of Egypt have I called my son, says the prophet Hosea. And that is, I'm convinced, why Israel had 40 years complete isolation. I'm not saying that parents should up and go and live somewhere miles from ecclesias. I'm saying that parents who've got authority over youngsters, and I've talked to many, many prospective parents here, if you're not already, within the next 10 years, many of you young people have children of your own, unless Christ comes back, and then we'll share everybody else's, and it'll be lovely. But if the prospective parents and those who are thinking of such things realise that when when Israel was a child, they were not even allowed to mix with either side. Come out and be separate was so rigidly enforced that he kept them separate for 40 whole years, a symbol of the child time of when, if you're out, yes, okay dear, you go to this goes, okay, it won't matter if you miss your circle for once. And the sort of thing which so rigidly Israel was stopped from doing in the wilderness, I'm sure it teaches us a lesson. And you've got the baby days of the nation of Israel, as of course Joseph, Jacob going down into Egypt, another subject. Joshua says, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. We will serve the Lord. And there's no ifs and buts about it. Your parents have very little control over most of you now. And if you don't want to go to the meeting, probably you make up your mind entirely, especially the 1/3, 2/3 of you don't even live at home now. As we heard last night, when you leave home and go to college, you suddenly find yourself your own master. And this is the time we are learning about this weekend. So the book of Judges is extremely relevant. Israel, as God's son, had these periods of growth in his life exactly the same as we have. And you cannot dismiss the Old Testament just as building up to Christ. And so therefore we concentrate on Christ. We do that. But we must take very careful attention to how they grew up. Let's look at the time chart. And I've got a helper in Joe somewhere, I'm not sure, oh he's in front, to stick on this chart as we go through certain things, and the majority will be the times of the judges. Right, let's start at the far end, and I'm sorry you can't see, feel free to stand up or jiffle around, not too much because this is being recorded and noise carries on the tape. Starting over with Abraham. Round about the year 2000, God had said to Abraham, these are BC times, getting nearer the time of Christ, get out of your country and come to mine. And the time periods there, if you look in the chart afterwards, you'll see they are divided up virtually for as long as the people lived, and I've tried to be accurate. Until Joseph went into Egypt, he died, the nation of Israel grew in Egypt, and they stayed in Egypt something like 200 years. And then they were brought out of Egypt, 40 years in the wilderness, and then into their land. If now, please Joe, we start to put on, and when I say a chapter and verse, it will help, please, if you look in Judges chapter 3 and onwards, to begin now to get with these times and the judges. Chapter 3, verse 8. They've gone into the land, and chapter 3, verse 8, God sold them into the hand of the king of Mesopotamia, which is a very similar part of the country to where Abraham had originally come from. And so the Mesopotamians were the oppressor which came from the north and attacked the land. Chapter 3, verse 9, they cried unto the Lord, and he sent them a deliverer called Othniel. And after Othniel, they had, who incidentally was Caleb's younger brother, of very great historical interest, of the tribe of Judah. Verse 11, the land had rest 40 years. Now, Othniel is measured on this chart accurately for 40 years. and we'll find the next one is measured accurately for 80 years. Very, very possibly, when Othniel or Ehud or Gideon died, his influence continued well after him. I'm not saying at all that these judges reigned for 40 or 80 years, but some considerable after them, their influence was felt, and then slowly they drifted downhill again. Verse 14, so the children of Israel served Eglon, the king of Moab, 18 years. So after Othniel's influence is gone, now Moab comes, of course, a descendant of Abraham, eventually, if you trace it back far enough, but not the promised seed. My friends, be awfully aware that you don't say, oh, well, they're a Christian church, they're almost as good as mine. The trouble Ammon and Moab and the other relatives of Lot or Abraham caused Israel is there right in the Old Testament to say nearly isn't enough. How can you possibly worship with somebody who thinks Jesus is God? How can you ever say amen at the end of their prayers when talked about Jesus destroying the devil? You've got to be very, very particular that you are within God's chosen, not just assuming that this is so. Verse 15, they have now, because Moab has been persecuting them 18 years, they have Ehud, a Benjamite who happens to be left-handed. I'll love anybody afterwards to suggest why. I haven't a clue. Any suggestions? Because we're not told irrelevant details in the scripture. The average is obviously right-handed, but there must be a good reason for that. And they have Ehud for verse 30, 80 years. Ehud and his influence last then for twice the normal time, 80 years. And the last verse in chapter 3, a little man called Shamgar, who did a good job in the southwest area against the Philistines, no time is given for him at all. And the judges at this time are definitely countrywide. They are looking after most of the land of Israel. Chapter 4, verse 2, the Lord sold them into the hand of Jabin, king of Canaan, that reigned in Hazor. Now, these are the people who come from the north. They had been living in Canaan, so they're called the Canaanites. And they occupy the Syrian country and quite a bit of the northern territory. And verse 3, Israel served them for 20 years. Interesting, because they have iron chariots. It's a modern development, and because Israel can't fight back, they haven't got iron at the moment. Perhaps if those are having trouble in fitting in Stone Age and Iron Age or something, this might help a little bit there. Verse 4, they have a lady judge, one of the very few, called Deborah, and she chooses a male to go out and lead the armies. They weren't enlightened, obviously, to follow a woman to war, but when she says that God will deliver Jabin, the king of Canaan, in the hand of a woman, he obviously thinks the prophetess is going to do it. It turns out to be who? Memory. Jael, the woman who in that gorgeous story, and when you do get to be, and I hope many of you are, some the school teachers, you can't half amuse those little kids with the story of the head lying there fast asleep in his huge great big tent peg and bang, 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 bang. In fact, a brother from our meeting said he taught one little girl for 15 years, and the only remark she ever made in Sunday school was when he told that story, and he says this now went bang, bang, she said, wow. It just appealed to her. And you can do quite nice if you get a great big melon or something, you want visual aids, and you make it really live, yeah. Just a few grapes to show what happened to the eyes, it's, why not? Chapter 5, verse 31. The land had rest 40 years. So under the influence of Deborah and Barak, then the very last line of chapter 5, another 40 years rest period. Imagine, Jeff, is it working? Great, good. We've got secret little signs on there, and it should be working. Chapter 6, verse 1. The children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord yet again, and the Lord delivered them into the hand of Midian, 7 years. So now 7 years oppression. And verse 11, Gideon, the judge, which we've got to talk about after the coffee break. So no more about him. And chapter 8, verse 28, after Gideon and his influence, the country was in quietness 40 years. A judge, quietness or peace, forgetting another oppression, another judge. Seems to be the order of the day. Until Gideon. And then after Gideon comes somebody who's officially a king, but nobody really accepts him as a king. He calls himself a king. One of Gideon's descendants, Abimelech. And he is followed then by Tola, who was 23 years, and Jer, who was 22 years. That's in chapters 9 and 10. So we got there for a total of 3 years for Abimelech, 23 for Tola, 22 for Jer, which according to my maths is 48. And we come to chapter 7, chapter 10, verse 7, which is the start of the division. Now, Israel wasn't to last long because they only had the three kings, Saul, David and Solomon. And within just a few years of Solomon, they had that civil war which permanently put Hadrian's Wall or equivalent across the middle of the land. This had already been seen in the book of Judges. And it was only after Gideon and then these three who followed Gideon that then it seems as though the land was split. Some north, some south, some east, some west. Different local judges. From this time on, there doesn't seem anybody who ruled the whole of the country. Judges chapter 10, verse 7. The anger of the Lord was hot against Israel, and he sold them into the hand of the Philistines. They come up from the southwest, the Egypt area. And into the hands of the Ammon, children of Ammon, which came from across Jordan from the east side. And because of this now, different invasions come in from the different areas. Different judges are appointed to quell the trouble and to bring peace locally. We'll think about the east, first of all. That is the far side of the Jordan. And chapter 11 speaks of a man who was born over that side from Gilead called Jephthah. And verse 1 tells you that he too had a bit of a dicey background, but God used him, which yet again is tremendously important for us. It doesn't matter if we come from single parent families. It doesn't matter if our parents are educated or uneducated. It doesn't matter at all the ability or the background. God has chosen the most unlikely characters sometimes. It's been said, the truth's net is full of strange fish, and it's very true saying. At least we're here, at least we've got a Bible in our hands, and either the whole thing's an accident or God wanted us here. I'm convinced he wanted us here. He wanted this man Jephthah, and he used him. And he ruled for a mere 6 years. Not very long, perhaps, and chapter 11 and 12 are mostly about his exploits. Chapter 12, verse 8, Ibsan, judged for 7 years. Again, I suggest over in the east, the other side of Jordan. Verse 11, Elon, judged for 10 years. Verse 13, Abdon, judged for 8 years. And you've got a block of virtually 40 years there, with the oppression then followed by Jephthah and the other judges, a block of time of about 40 years, which coincides very comfortably with chapter 13, verse 1. Now we'll go to the other half of Israel, the mainland part, and the Philistines. Coming now from the southwest area, from the Egypt area, moving up, and Samson, chapter 13 and 14, which again is a subject of Michael's talk later on. So, not much about him. Chapter 16, verse 31. Very last line, chapter 16, last verse. Samson judged Israel 20 years. Now, coinciding with Samson, almost certainly, was Eli. Eli reigned for a long time, probably something like 40 years, and that was almost the same time as Samson. John, I wonder if you can put him halfway across, sticking out a bit, towards the left. Because he was probably going at the same time, thanks, as Samson. And 1 Samuel chapter 4, verse 18, just to finish off the picture, 1 Samuel chapter 4, verse 18, it came to pass when he made mention of the ark of God that he, Eli, fell off the seat backward by inside of the gate, and his neck brake, and he died. For he was an old man and heavy, and he had judged Israel 40 years. Not very successfully, not very well known. He was a priest. And perhaps now we're getting back to the religious side of Israel. Well, of course, as soon as Eli had stopped, Samuel started. In chapter 3 of Samuel, verse 19, is where we have to stop this brief little look of the judges. Chapter 3, verse 19, Samuel grew, and the Lord was with him. That's vital. And did let none of his words fall to the ground. And all Israel, this is a change, because now we've had, for the last few years, local judges. And all Israel, from Dan in the north, even to Beersheba in the south, knew that Samuel was established to be a prophet of the Lord. And the Lord appeared again in Shiloh, the place where the tabernacle was put. We're now to stop for a hymn, and I'll ask one of the young ladies in that section to choose one for the next 2 minutes, please. And then we'll have just the last few minutes of my talk, looking at one or two, and there's only three, problem verses in the scriptures which tell you about years, and either that chart falls or stands because of these years. Right, what should we sing? One of the ladies in that section. The one about Samuel's ear. Good, where's Samuel's ear? 96. Super. I hope, Lindsay, we're not embarrassing you too much. Thanks, Joe, for your help, very much. Right, hymn number 96, Hushed was the evening hymn. The temple courts were dark. The lamp was burning dim before the sacred ark. It shouldn't have gone out. Apparently they let it. When suddenly a voice divine rang through the silence of the shrine. Hymn 96. I anticipate 10 or 12 minutes now, and then I'll ask the lady in that section to choose the last hymn for me, please. Now, as you read through the scriptures, and I was talking to Sister Pat earlier this morning, about certain verses which stick in your mind about how many years had elapsed between this and that. Some are totally misunderstood by the majority of us. Some are totally misrepresented, and there's one or two complete mistakes in translation. But I think the best is the 1 Kings chapter 6. I do confess to being a school teacher. I am not a maths teacher, and figures, especially money, frighten the socks off me. So the next 10 minutes is a very simple look, I'm doing, and it's got to be, of trying to fit in a general chronology, a general understanding of these times and years. Nobody violently disagreed so far with what we've got on the charts. Please, my friends, feel free to, in the next 10 minutes, stick your hand up or shout your head off if you don't understand, or you want me to go over, or you think I'm wrong. Forget the wrong bit, but if you want me to go over it again, okay. 1 Kings chapter 6, and we've got a very, very definite time period. When I left home, there's definitely a chapter 6 in my Bible. I found it. And it came to pass in the 480th year, after the children of Israel were come out of the land of Egypt, in the fourth year of Solomon's reign over Israel, in the month Ziph, which is the second month, that he began to build the house of the Lord. Now, you can't get much more definite than that. And whether the months are connected with lemon juice or not, it's quite irrelevant, of course, the minute detail, but we're told 480 years after the children of Israel came out of Egypt was Solomon's fourth year, and that's when he started to build the temple. So somehow we have got to get 480 years from coming out of Egypt to Solomon building the temple. And you don't have to be much of a genius to do that sort of sum. The date of the Exodus, most commentators will agree, was 1493. 1493 years before Christ, pretty definite, because historical evidence is pretty accurate. I say 3 because somebody else said 3, and it could be 5, it could be something else. But basically it's 1490 when they came out of Egypt. Then you go on, 40 years there in the wilderness, so they went in at 1443. Then you've got the times and the judges. Then you've got Samuel who anointed Saul, and in turn anointed David, who then passed on his kingdom to Solomon. And Solomon's third year, according to the chart which we've got on there, is 1006. And if you take the one from the other, I get 487, which ain't far out from 480. So that gives me tremendous confidence that the places I've catched this chart from and changed some of it because I didn't agree with some of it, and read many, many books and discarded some, and eventually settled on something which I thought was good, and then reproduced on there, according to 1 Kings chapter 6, is accurate. Now, some people will want to get the judges lasting a lot longer, and some a lot shorter than we have. But if you are playing with such dates as the Exodus and Solomon, you've got to fit the judges somewhere in the middle, and that's, well, for me, not too far. The second one, Judges itself, chapter 11. Most unlikely little account, but here is Jephthah, the judge who was on the east of Jordan, talking mainly by letter, and because that didn't work, then he went out and fought the enemy who came against him. And Judges chapter 11, verse 26. This is a sort of internal evidence that the Bible throws in. If Judges 11, verse 26 is of no interest, Psalm 23 is of no interest, and John 3:16 is of no interest. You cannot, my friends, say, I'm not going to bother with that, I'm not interested, say like I do with Revelation, I can't understand it. One day, God willing, I'd like to. But certain things are here for our learning, and you'd be a pretty poor student if you ignored facts. We've got a fact here. Judges 11:26. Jephthah speaking, while Israel dwelt in Heshbon and her towns, these are the towns on the east of Jordan before they crossed over, they had conquered first under Moses, and her towns in all the cities that be along by the coast of Arnon, 300 years. Why therefore did he not recover them within that time? And he's talking to the enemy, who has now, in the days of Jephthah, come and said, we want these towns, Sihon king of the Amorites and Og king of Bashan, which Israel in the days of Moses on the east of Jordan have captured. And Jephthah, the judge in that area, says, look, we've been living here for 300 years. Why ever didn't you come and capture them then? Why wait for 300 years? Well, when you're doing a study of the judges, you've got to take that into consideration. We've tried. And this is going to be a model. We will start with 1493 of the time when, I presume, was the Exodus. It took them 40 years to get to the Promised Land and cross the Jordan. 40 years wandering. I've knocked off from that. I knock off because we're going down in the years getting before Christ. I've knocked off, not 40, but 35. I haven't a clue how long Moses had arrived there and went north and south and captured those towns, but we'll assume it's about 5 years. It makes the answer come right anyway. So, more or less 5, if you want to call it 15, if you want to call it 1 or 2, it's up to you. But within that sort of time, they'd arrived at a place where Moses then goes north and south and conquers. He dies, Joshua then takes him across the Jordan. And so if we say about 35 years from leaving Egypt, not many folks will call with that. And up till that time, you get 1458, the year then. Up to that time of Jephthah, which according to this chart on here, we've already worked out, is something like 1125. He said 300 years since Israel has been living there until this time, and the answer is 333. So either Jephthah made a little mistake, or I've made a little mistake, in the tune of 33 years. But who's going to quarrel with 33 years with this sort of chronology? I'm not. So again, we are more or less accurate. Within 50 years of this sort of thing, obviously, nobody's going to make much fuss at all. So Jephthah says that we've been living there 300 years, and according to that sort of chronology, they had, give or take, a bit. And when you say 300 years, I don't expect there's 299 years and 11 months and 364 days, because he says about 300. Anyway. Now, there is just one more problem. And this is a real problem verse. It's in Acts chapter 13. It's the sort of thing which speakers, including myself, would much happily ignore or pretend you didn't see. Somebody tells you after and says, oh, that's interesting. But I did know it was here and I felt obliged to have a look at it. And I'm glad I did. Acts of the Apostles, chapter 13. Paul is preaching in Antioch. He's talking to people who obviously know a fair bit of what he's saying. And so he's putting in quite a few dates and times. Acts of the Apostles, chapter 13, verse 18. God has chosen Israel, and now, about this time of 40 years, suffered he their manners in the wilderness. So he is relating history and said, your forefathers were 40 years in the wilderness. Verse 19. When he had destroyed 7 nations in the land of Canaan, he divided unto them their land by lot, and after that he gave unto them judges about the space of 450 years, until Samuel the prophet. And boy, oh boy, you try and get 450 years into that chart, and you can't. What's he mean? Either this is a mistake, or we've made a mistake. Try to rearrange the chart and get the judges to last for 450 years. And, okay, you might satisfy this verse, but you can't satisfy the two we've just seen about the 480 years from the Exodus to Solomon, or the 300 years from arriving at the East Bank until Jephthah. You can't have all three. Stupid me. I always accept the authorised version as the Bible I've grown up with. But when you look in any other translation, the Revised Standard, the New International, or most of the others, you'll find that this is a complete mistranslation. Who has got one of those New International blue covered ones? It doesn't really matter about the cover. Who's got New International with them here? Would you read it there, please? Just read, if you don't mind, verse 20 and 21. If it's allowed. Oh, sorry, I was asking the lady over here. Thank you, that'll do. All of this took about 450 years at the end of verse 19. After this, he gave them judges. And for some unaccountable reason, in the authorised version, they've got the 450 years after the mention of the judges. And so the majority of us think that the judges lasted for 450 years. If we only had the authorised version, I'd be obliged to say, I'm sorry I can't understand it. But we are privileged to have so many other translations, and if you look in notes, in margins, and in commentaries, most will say that the originals all said that he divided their land by lot for about 450 years. And then they had judges. Last little chart. From the time of the promise of Abraham as being a nation, call it something like 1900, to the time where he divided their land to them by lot, they came into the promised land, they had left Egypt, they are now nearly there, you've got 447. Take it from the time of Joshua, and you've got 400, and you're not far out. In other words, verse 18 and 19 is the 450 years, not the period of the judges. And that, I think, begins to make sense of quite a lot of the Bible. We are now going to look at some of the judges individually, but before we do that, we're going to have a little look through Brother Michael of why they actually had a judge and the role of the judges.